We will conclude our time in Titus 2:6 this afternoon. He says, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Exhort to be sober-minded. We've said the encouragement there is to be clear-thinking and self-controlled. We've gone through several areas where we can focus in on that. The one that we're currently on is thinking clearly about your choices, this reality that every choice we make has a consequence attached to it. And so we said that we need to think clearly about the choices we make as it relates to relationships, whether we're talking about companionship with friends or we're talking about romantic type relationships. We need to be thinking clearly about how we're choosing to spend our time. And then the last one here, and obviously a big category like choices, we could do a bunch, but the last one that I'm going to talk about is for young men thinking clearly about career options. Thinking clearly about career options. When it comes to important decisions that you're going to make in your life, young men, really there are three big ones. The first one is, where am I going to go to church? Okay, that's going to have humongous ripple effects in your life if you're committed to a local body. Number two, who am I going to marry? Okay, again, that's going to have big ripple effects. Who you marry, your spouse, will have a big impact on the direction of your life. And then number three, where am I going to work or career option? Okay, you're going to spend the majority of your waking hours in a career. And so what you decide to do, where you decide to move into, again, is going to have a big impact on your time. So how do I discern a legitimate career option? Seems like every year there are more and more and more new careers that are coming to the forefront or availabilities. And now we have options that folks didn't have even, you know, 20 years ago as far as just people who are able to make a living by selling stuff on the internet and e-businesses and those kinds of things. And so sometimes, I say sometimes, I think most of the time, young men have a difficult time trying to think through, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What sort of career am I going to choose? Well, I'll just give you a few things here, a few questions to think about. Number one, we said last week, one of the things you ought to be trying to think clearly about is yourself. Okay, so what are your interests? What are your strengths? What are some of the gifts that the Lord has given you? So one way you might figure that out is by asking yourself, what is it over the years that my parents, my friends, my family, those who are close to me have encouraged me in or pointed out that I tend to be pretty good at or that I excel in? So I think interest would be something to keep in mind. But then secondly, and this is a very, very close second, are there legitimate career options that align with my interest? Okay? Are there legitimate career options that align with my interest that will, number one, fulfill what really the primary purpose of what our career focus should be, and that would be to be able to provide for a family if the Lord blesses us with a family. But also, whenever we think about legitimate, I think it also we have to include in there, am I going to be able to be a regular part of a local church? Am I going to be able to be part of the body? Is regular attendance going to be something that I'm going to be able to do? If not, you're making a humongous sacrifice right off the bat. Okay? A sacrifice that is not worth whatever dollar amount is going to be on that paycheck. And so, what are my interests? Are there legitimate career opportunities that align with my interests? Now, this is something that that I used to try to encourage folks to think about a lot. I think this is just wisdom. There's no scripture for this. But as you're trying to think through, especially if you're in the last years of high school or maybe even your early days of college, what you might want to do for a career option, I would encourage you to start looking at careers and work your way backwards. Here's what I mean by that. A lot of times people say, and plenty of people have done this and it's worked out okay, but plenty of people have done this and it backfired. So sometimes people will say, if I could just find something like business, okay? You can be a business major and you can make money, okay? I'm not saying you can't. But a lot of times business is where people get floated into when they don't know what they want to do. And folks say, well, you'll just have so many options, it won't really, you know, you'll be able to have the pick of the litter, whatever's out there. This type of thing will open up so many doors. And so somebody will invest, you know, 4 to 5 years in a degree in business. They have no direction as far as what the kind of career they actually want to get. And then when they get on the other end, what they realize is, and I'm not saying this is always with business, but with anything like this, what they realize is the career opportunities that are available to them are going to hinder them from being able to spend time with their families, is going to hinder them from being able to have any real serious connection and consistency with being part of a local church, and it's going to consume all of their time. Now, again, when you're thinking about careers first, I'm talking about the actual jobs that people are doing, and you work backwards from there, you don't have that surprise waiting on you at the end, and you have a clear idea of what it is that you're moving into. You guys have heard, and I know you have, because they've been talking about this for years, talking about it a lot for the last 10 years. You guys have heard of people who've gone through school, they've gotten a 4-year degree, and then they've gone home and they've sat at the house for a while because they didn't have a job waiting on them. Anybody ever hear that? That sort of thing has exploded in the last 10 years. You want to know why? Because people were picking majors long before they were picking careers, and when they got to the end of their major, they didn't know what to do next. That's not wise. So when you're thinking about careers and you want to think about it from a wisdom standpoint, what are the legitimate opportunities that are going to align with my interest, where an opportunity is actually going to be there? And then is that career going to hinder my ability to be a faithful member of a solid church? The question is not, is there a church building close by? The question is there a healthy, solid church that I can be a part of? Because there's a good chance, you know, depending on whatever it is that you're interested in, there's a good chance that you might have to move. And if you have to move, that's okay. I mean, we hate to see you go, but it's not a sin. The Lord may lead you to move, but I can tell you this, you don't need to be very confident in touting that the Lord is moving you to follow a career path that's going to plant you in the middle of a spot where there is no good, healthy local church. Okay? You should not be confident in that sort of logic. Okay? The Lord will never tell you to esteem your career over His kingdom. Okay? And if you're putting yourself in a position where you are not in a place to where you can be under sound teaching and in fellowship with mature Christians on a regular basis, then His kingdom's not your first priority. Okay? So the question here, whenever we're thinking about seek ye first the kingdom of God, the question here is not what do you esteem most in your feelings. The question is, as you're prioritizing and you're choosing, right? You're choosing, because sometimes what happens is folks will put their career in this bullseye and they will make all these choices and get to a place to where they're so spiritually dry, and then they say, well, look what happened to me. Right. Look what happened to me. And what happened to them was they put their career in the center and made all their choices fit that. Okay? It wasn't what happened to them, it was what they chose. The flip side is true. The people who are here, who are regular, consistent members and attendees at Ripley Primitive Baptist Church, you have chosen to set up your schedule and you have chosen to align your priorities so that you can be here. Right? Anybody accidentally float in this morning? No. You did it on purpose. just like every other priority that you put into place. So as you're thinking about career, it's important, okay, you need to be thinking about how can I provide for my family, how can I make wise decisions, but how can I do that and at the same time be a member of God's kingdom and a member of a local church that is going to allow me to do that in a practical way. Now here's another one, just one more consideration. And again, this is one of those things that, you know, maybe 10 years ago wouldn't have made a whole lot of sense. But a new one to begin to consider would be, is there something that I can do that might keep me from being under a corporation that might try to force me to compromise my biblical convictions? Okay, that's one that we did not have to think about 10 years ago. But if you're a Christian now, and you are working for a corporation, of course you know this already, the corporate world has all gone politicized, and whatever the new fad is what they're doing. I heard about a guy that was working for a corporation, and they made it mandatory that all of them wear their name tags with the LGBTQ rainbow lanyards on. They made it mandatory that if somebody underwent the whole transgender deal, that they start referring to them as a woman if they were a man or whatever else. So, new things to start thinking about. Brothers and sisters, that's not going away. Okay, that's not going to lighten up. Can I choose something that will keep me from being under that sort of an environment where I have to compromise my biblical convictions in order to keep my job? It's something worth thinking about, something worth discussing. Okay, so choices, choices, choices. Thinking clearly about your choices. All right, number 7. Think about a sober mind, thinking clearly. Young men, I would encourage you to think clearly about your character. Think clearly about your character. We've gone here a lot over the last few years, but let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This really is a baseline for Christian character. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul says, I'm begging you to live, behave, to order your manner of life in a way that is consistent with your calling. And that would be with these 4 character qualities, with all humility, all humility, all gentleness, all patience, and all tolerance or forbearing. Tolerance in the truest sense of the word, tolerance. So as you're thinking about your character, young men, it's not enough to just say, well, am I humble, am I gentle, am I patient, am I tolerant? This goes for everybody as well. But as we think about the kind of character that the Lord wants us to have, wants us to cultivate, then we begin to pray that the Lord would give us the strength to pursue humility. One of those prayers may be just, Lord, would you bless me to see things about myself that I'm not currently seeing? Would you bless me to see the areas of pride in my life that I don't currently see? Will you bless me to see areas in my life where meekness is definitely not the quality that I'm choosing, that I'm being harsh rather than gentle, that I'm being impatient and quick to anger rather than being patient, that I'm not being tolerant from the standpoint of giving liberty where liberty can be had, but rather I'm trying to micromanage what everybody's doing. Would you bless me to be aware of those? And then secondly, would you bless me to grow into those Bless me to become someone who realizes I'm not the smartest person in the room. Bless me to be someone who realizes that I can learn from other people. I can learn from those who are around me. And as a matter of fact, I need to learn from those that you've surrounded me with. I'm thinking primarily of the body of Christ and your family. Bless me, Lord, with patience, with endurance. And bless me not to hold a standard that's higher than the standard that you hold for other folks in the sense of forbearance. One of the things that is worth noting and I think essential about pursuing a character like that is the very next verse. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why in the world is Paul worried about Christian character in Ephesians chapter 4? Because he knows that unity is impossible without character. Okay? Unity is going to be impossible without character. You get two people who are just saturated in their own pride. Unity is impossible. Unity is impossible. You get two people that don't know anything about being gentle or patient or tolerant. There is no unity. And brothers, as the leaders of your future families, you need to be the one who's leading the way into that. You need to be a man who's known as someone who is seeking to choose humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance. And verse 3 says, you're going to have to make every effort to do that. Okay, putting self to death. Look in Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Your character matters. Brothers, your character matters. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. The just man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. The just man walks in his integrity. And so being men of integrity, men that are committed to God's agenda, whether someone's looking or not, men who are committed to becoming the men that Christ has called you to be, whether or not you have someone there who's patting you on the back or someone who's watching, you're doing it because you love Him. You're doing it because you realize you're a part of His kingdom. You're doing it because you realize you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. And if you're going to fulfill the roles and responsibilities that Christ has called you to, then that's not a compartmentalized life where you get to try to be the honorable guy at work, but you do whatever you want to do when you're at home. The man who has high moral standards whenever he's debating or talking, but then when he's out with his buddies, he does whatever he wants to do. Brothers, God calls you to have integrity, and what a blessing it is when you have a church full of men who have integrity. When they speak, there's some weight to that because there's credibility that goes along with it. So a few things you might think about. What kind of habits do you have set up in your life? Really, your habits will be a reflection of your character. And really, your habits will either hinder you or feed the good character that you are trying to cultivate. So, for instance, we're kind of going back to the basics on this. But how often are you in Scripture? Do you have a habit of being in Scripture on a regular basis? Okay. If you don't, you will not cultivate a godly character. Okay. A godly character is directly connected to regular, consistent time in Scripture because the Holy Spirit uses that. What do you do with your free time? Again, I'm not saying you can't have fun, but if your habits with your free time are to indulge the lust of the flesh, you are not going to cultivate a godly character. It's just never going to happen. So you got to keep a watch over your habits. And then secondly, you got to keep a watch over your attitudes, okay? And by that, I don't mean necessarily the, you know, what you might naturally think of, the attitude adjustment or something like that. But as a whole, what is your attitude toward other people, toward the world? Are you here to be served, or are you here to serve? Okay? If you're going to cultivate a Christ-like attitude, then you need to be reminded on a daily basis that you're here to what? Serve, right? Serve. So you're going to be looking for opportunities to serve. Serve is not just, you know, service is not just something that we talk about. Service doesn't make for a good conversation. Service is something that you actually do. As a husband and a father, you're going to be in a position to where you are called to serve your spouse, serve your wife, to serve your children. We've said this already a bunch of times, to serve your church. Put in situations where you can serve in your community. But brothers, it's sad to say that a lot of the exaggerated, maybe, a lot of the bad stereotypes that fall on men in our culture are legitimized by men who believe they're here for the rest of the world to serve. Okay? Don't be one of them. Don't be one of them. Christ said, I didn't come to be ministered to, but I came to minister. I came to serve. So that's a character quality. That's a character quality. In James chapter 5, again, we're thinking about how we think clearly about our character. In James chapter 5, verse 12, he says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation." The character quality here that we're thinking about is just dependability. Dependability. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Can people trust that when you say you're going to do something, you're actually going to do it? Say, well, what does this have to do with anything? Well, James thinks it has to do with something, right? Christ speaks to this thing as well. Let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. Part of building a Christ-like character is building a character of dependability, that when I say I'm going to do something, I'm there. Now, the other thing that we have to, again, visit on this thing is you'll have to learn to say no when you really can't. So sometimes, again, people-pleasing can get in the way of this, and if you're not careful, you want to say yes to everything, and you end up breaking your word. You end up not building a very dependable character, not because you were trying to be malicious, you just couldn't say no. Well, that goes back to, brothers, that goes back to setting your priorities. Okay, once you set your priorities, then you can filter your obligations through that, as far as your roles, your responsibilities, and those kinds of things. So as you think clearly about your character, dependability ought to be part of that. By the way, and you've heard this before as well, but if you're a dependable person, that'll take care of about 98% of your career problems. Okay, if you can show up on time, if you can work when you're supposed to work, if you cannot steal, you'll be employee of the month, okay? You won't have a lot of competition. Dependability. And then character-wise, we said that we hit this a minute ago, but purity. Purity. Job 31:1, Job says he made a covenant with his eyes that he might not look upon a young lady. Right? Someone who is committed to purity. Thinking clearly about your character. Number eight, thinking clearly about your money. Thinking clearly about your money. You know, there's all kinds of different thoughts in the world about money. Some people have the idea that, you know, you have a bunch of money, you'll be happy. And then some people have already discovered that no matter how much money you have, that could never make you happy. And then there's a lot of folks in between saying a few things here and there. But whenever we think about it from a biblical standpoint, number one, money can be a tremendous blessing. You know, sometimes people may feel guilty whenever they hear messages about money and wealth and those kinds of things. And while we don't believe in a health and wealth prosperity type gospel from the standpoint that if God is blessing you, you'll be rich, we don't believe that. Not always, anyway. We also don't believe that if you're rich, it must be because of sinful reasons, right? The Lord blesses His people with money at times, and that's good. It can be a tremendous blessing. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18. He says, "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion." So money can be a blessing. It can be, I say it can be, it is a blessing, right? It says here, it comes from God. God gives it. But money, while it is a blessing to have, it is a horrible master. If you set money up as your master, as your ultimate priority, or if you don't get a handle on money from the standpoint of you are so consumed with this world's goods that it's going out left and right, then the blessing that God gives to His people to be enjoyed can be the curse that completely destroys you. Okay? Think about, and we're not going to do a lot of this, but think about the ways in which you can bless people with the money that the Lord has given you. It can be a blessing to your family. It can be a blessing to your church. Okay, we've voted here many a time to send money to someone who is in need. As far as the trips to India and Russia and Nicaragua, those could not have taken place were it not for the generous giving that's gone on here. Okay, that's a blessing. It's not just a blessing to us who get to go, but it's a blessing to those who are there. But Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Lets us know that if we're not careful with the money that we have, it can consume and destroy us. If we're not careful with what we have, it can consume us and destroy us. Luke 12, verse 15, "He said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesses." If we're not careful, we can become so covetous, can't we? Really, the goal with money is that we would be wise stewards of what the Lord gives us and that we would be content with what the Lord gives us. And that contentment thing is just really difficult, isn't it? I told you this several months ago when it happened, maybe a year ago now. Just an illustration of how fickle contentment can be. We needed to replace some ping pong tables at camp. And so I went to Dirt Cheap, and maybe Abby had gone, somebody had gone and told me there were some cheap ping pong tables there. And so I went, and sure enough, there they were, 60% off. And I can't remember now what that dollar figure was, but I think maybe 50 bucks or somewhere around that for a ping pong table. And man, I was excited. I was really excited. I called Aaron, I said, "I found, there's two or three of them here. I can only get two in my car right now, but $50, this is a great deal." Called Abby, I was excited. Well, I loaded up the first one after I bought it. Went back to get the second one, and the lady said, "Well, did you get all of them?" I said, "No, I can't get all of them in my car, it's just too small." She said, "Oh, well, did you see these over here?" I said, "See what over where?" "Well, we got the same ones for 90% off right here." Can you guess what happened to my contentment? I was ready to blow a fuse. I had the folks there showing me where these ping pong tables were on sale, $50, right, or whatever it was. The big sign on the door, all sales final, okay? So saying, let me return this and buy these was completely out of the question. Okay, so joyful, content Lewis all of a sudden lost all that joy and all that contentment because it was the same product for 90% off rather than 50% off. What was the problem? Was the problem that number? Was the problem the ping pong table? Or was the problem my heart? I'd love to tell you that I was really, really grieved over the fact that camp was going to be shorted $40 or whatever for a ping pong table, but that's not what it was. Okay? Really, what I wanted to be able to do was say, I got a deal. Right? I got a deal. Well, when we think about contentment and wise stewardship, then we have to think about, and this was the missing piece, really. We have to think about what it means to view all of our material goods as a gift from God, and we also have to think about a commitment of gratitude to the Lord who gives all good things to His children. Here was the reality that day. I got a ping pong table for 50% off. Was that any less of a blessing because there was one for 90? No. I did get aggravated, but no, it was not. It was still a blessing to be able to do that. And so that's a silly example, but we do things, we do these kinds of things with other things as well, right? So being content with the cars that we drive, with the houses that we live in, with the clothes that we have, with the gadgets that we have, with all the things that we have access to. Brothers, if you don't learn contentment, you're going to have a hard time trying to lead your family and being a good steward of what the Lord has given you. It doesn't matter if you have $5 or $5 million. If you don't have contentment, then you're not ready to use the gift that the Lord has given you. So that's going to be something that you have to grow in, something that you have to continue to ask the Lord for. Thinking clearly about your money. And then lastly, we mentioned this earlier, thinking clearly about your legacy. Thinking clearly about your legacy. And I don't mean this in some sort of a man-centered thing. Okay, we're not going to put a plaque up with your name on it. We're not going to think about this in any sort of way that is centered upon us. But really, it's the legacy of a life that was lived and sold out for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, or the legacy of someone who chased something else. Okay. Again, this is a verse we just went to, but Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, the just man walks in his integrity, and what? His children are blessed after him. Why? Because of the legacy of a man who walked in his integrity. The encouragement of a man who walked in his integrity. The teachings of a man who walked in his integrity. The life of a man who walked in his integrity. And again, we talked about this earlier. We think about guys like Brother Hassel, Brother Mike. We think about guys like Brother Jerry Hunt Jr., like Brother Claude. We could just keep on going. And when you think about those men, you think about men who were sold out for the kingdom of God. People who lived their life in service to Jesus Christ, and you're better off for it. It's a blessing to you. You are blessed by the legacy that they left. Now, here's the question. What kind of legacy are you going to leave? Okay? If you died today, what would people remember you for? Okay? We all get remembered for something. Are you going to be the guy that was funny? Nothing wrong with being funny, but if that's all you're remembered for, that's not much. There's a lot of funny folks in the world. Are you going to be the guy who's remembered for your commitment to the kingdom of God, the sacrifices that you made in order to be part of the church of God? And listen, we've got some young folks right now that have been really encouraging to me, particularly, who have realigned work schedules and realigned school schedules so that they could make it on Wednesday night so that they could come and do a little bit of extra discipleship kind of stuff. And so I'm not thinking in hypotheticals here. I'm talking about things that people are already doing right now, and I'm really thankful for it. And so as you think about your own legacy, what kind of legacy are you leaving for your children, your children's children, and the younger folks of this church? When I think about Brother Claude, I feel guilty about not mowing somebody's yard or whatever. And by that, I don't mean I'm down in the dumps. I just think about, I get energized to go serve somebody when I think about Brother Claude. He was a worker. He loved to work, but he loved to work for other people, right? And when he showed up, he meant to work. I've told this story before, and I just can't help but laugh when I tell it. But we were doing something at Sister Billy's house at one point, and a group of guys were there, and it was cold. And we were all working, and Brother Aaron had some hand warmers. I know he remembers this story. And he gave me some, and I took them. Okay, my hands were cold. And he got to Brother Claude, and he said, "Brother Claude, you want some of these hand warmers?" And, of course, Brother Claude looked at it and said, "Well, what do I do with this?" And Brother Aaron said, "Well, you put them in your pockets, and when your hands get cold, you put your hands in your pockets, and it'll warm them up." And Brother Claude said, "I don't plan on having my hands in my pockets." And all Aaron could do was laugh, you know. And well, when I think about Brother Claude, I think about somebody who didn't have his hands in his pockets because he was working and trying to serve someone in a tangible way that, number one, he enjoyed, but number two, he could do. It was a real blessing. Okay, so those are the kinds of things that we think of. So we're all going to leave a legacy. What is that legacy going to be? We should start thinking of that now. I think I've mentioned this before, but a year ago, or a year and a half ago now, I guess, however long it was, when Isaac went to Memphis and I was becoming full-time here, as I thought about what I needed to focus on and those kinds of things, from a big-picture standpoint, the Lord just kind of impressed me with the thought of what you're doing right now is doing the best you can to set whoever comes up after you, to set them up for success. Okay, you understand what I mean by that? In other words, my goal here, what I'm trying to do, is not carve my way out as being the best pastor Ripley ever had. Okay, I tell people all the time, I'm riding on the coattail of giants. Without Brother Wallace, without Brother Mike, without Isaac, okay, my job would have been tremendously more difficult than it is right now. But as it is now, I show up. I don't have to. If I open God's Word and I preach what the Word says, I don't have to worry about anybody saying really anything, right? If I didn't nuance this just right or whatever, because you have been trained long before I got here under Brother Wallace, Brother Mike. You were taught that we believe in the sufficiency and the authority of Scripture. And if it's in Scripture, then we're going to embrace it. You know what else I don't ever have to really worry about? I don't have to worry about somebody coming close to leaving or coming to blows during a business meeting because somebody wanted a Hoover vacuum and somebody else wanted a Dyson. None of that. Okay, we laugh about that. Brother Wallace spent a good bit of time, and I wasn't here for this, but I've heard stories, a good bit of time harping on how it is silly that we would argue over the color of the carpet, right? And it is. And the reason he was harping on that is because churches have split over silly things like that. Well, brothers and sisters, the fact that all those things kind of function the way they function now has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the fact that men who were used by God have left legacies that continue to ripple through this congregation right now. It's a tremendous blessing to me. It's a tremendous blessing to you, and I hope the Lord will use each of our lives to do the same thing for the coming generations so that the church is still here and that the men and women are continuing to be blessed by the integrity of those of us who go on before. Don't you hope that for yourself? I hope you do. I hope you do. And so, someone who's thinking clearly with a sober mind is going to be thinking about their legacy. Because our legacy is a legacy of grace. It's a legacy of a sinner who was dead in their sins, who received all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, became part of His kingdom, and lived the rest of their lives seeking to please and honor Him in fellowship with other saints. And so, as we move on through Titus, we're going to see that all of this is a product of grace. And so, by His grace, younger men, you can be the clear-thinking men the Lord has called you to be. Let's pray. Father, again, we are thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for the church of God that we get to be a part of. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that as we think about these kinds of things, particularly this last point, as we think about this reality that we're all going to leave a legacy, that You have given us so many good examples that are encouraging, Lord, and that still impact us today. I pray that You would be with each young man here. I pray that You would press the weight of this call on their hearts. If they have not yet professed faith in You, I pray that You would draw them to Yourself. And if they have, Lord, I pray that You would bless them to run hard after You. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.